8:55 Eastern Time, and Columbia and its affiliated stations bring you Elmer Davis and the news.
On this 13th day of the attack on the Mannerheim line, the Finns for the first time admit the loss of certain advanced positions, mostly machine gun nests, but they say that some of them were retaken by counterattacks. The Russian claims are far more extensive. 12 steel and concrete forts and 20 other defensive positions taken yesterday, 23 fortifications of various kinds today, besides 30 forts and 82 guns captured since Thursday. Russian communiques have seldom been very close to the truth, but it is evident that they are now making some progress, though what they have taken may be no more than pillboxes. The Mannerheim line is a fortified area some 20 miles wide, and this chipping into the edges does not mean it is anywhere near broken, but the Russian weight of men and material is beginning to tell. It's 4 o'clock tomorrow morning in Finland, and already the assaults have begun again at 4 points in the line. The strongest, as usual, around Suma, where today's fighting was described as comparable in intensity to the biggest battles of the last war. On other fronts, the Finns have done pretty well. They say the danger from the Russian attack around Kumo in the east-central part of the country is about over. And the air raids of today, while they burn much of the town of Porvo on the south coast, don't seem to have done much military damage. But it's a question how much longer the exhausted Finnish troops on the isthmus can hold out against the fresh masses the Russians can pour in on them every day. The Senate today passed a bill increasing the capitalization of the Export-Import Bank to $100 million and permitting loans of $20 million to any country, by which it was understood Finland and China were meant. The vote was 49-27, and opponents of the bill spoke of the danger of entanglement. Senator George of Georgia said, "We cannot go half in and half out of other people's quarrels. Whether we should do this or not," I'm not quoting Senator George anymore, "it's hard to see why we couldn't if we wanted to. Other nations have done it." But from reports so far received, most of the arguments in favor of the bill were expressions of sympathy with Finland rather than attempts to meet the fears of involvement. Two more British trawlers are belatedly reported sunk by the German air attack on Saturday. But reports come into London of two German freighters, one of 3,800 and another of 6,000 tons, scuttled by their crews in the South Atlantic to escape capture by the British. An 8,500-ton British tanker was sunk tonight and a Norwegian freighter this morning, both by mines or torpedoes, it is not certain which. Prime Minister Chamberlain said today that Undersecretary of State Wells, on his approaching trip to Europe, would be taken into the full confidence of the British government. And our correspondent Cecil Brown reported from Rome this evening that the Italians are placing considerable hopes in his visit, especially as they are going to tell him that the satisfaction of Italian demands in Tunisia, Djibouti, and Suez are basic requirements for any peace settlement. There won't be much enthusiasm for that program in Paris. In the Angriff, Dr. Gibbels' paper, an editorial today by Robert Ley, head of the German Labor Front, was headed "Workers of the World Unite." The old communist slogan, but given a Nazi twist, for Ley went on to tell the workers, "Your common enemy is British Jewish high finance." This is one of many symptoms indicating that the present trend of Nazi policies, which may be reversed at any moment, is strongly toward the left, not so much perhaps to please the Russians as to appease the German laboring classes who are uncomfortable in their living conditions. Neutral economists in Berlin are analyzing the lately concluded German-Russian trade treaty, and conclude that while Germany may get more grain, oil, and lumber from Russia, the first two depending on improvement in Russian railroads, the Russian shipments will by no means compensate for what is shut off by the blockade. The Paris radio, as heard by our shortwave listening station tonight, says that the importance of this agreement should not be minimized. It is not an ordinary commercial treaty, but a plan for the reorganization of Russia into a sphere of German economic influence. This is an enemy's view, but the treaty does seem to provide for the doing of a good deal of work in Russia by German engineers. The Japanese government is still defending itself against vigorous criticism in the Diet on many different points. A member of the House of Representatives today suggested that the labor shortage in Japan, caused by the mobilization of 1 million men, which the army proposes to meet by bringing over Chinese prisoners of war, might better be handled by bringing home 300,000 Japanese from Hawaii and California. Foreign Minister Arita said that the government is not considering that at present, but might have to do it if the worst came to the worst.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.